Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, from Bricktown. Dad, how you doing?
Doing fine. You're fading in and out a little bit here, but there's probably so many people are listening to it that it's probably damaging the signal a little bit.
That's what it is. You have so many fans out here that it's putting a hurting on the system.
I see that.
So, what's on your mind and what's been going on?
Well, I was reading in the Washington Post about the facial recognition stuff about the Capitol and how the people stormed the Capitol and stuff like that, and how they identified, 400 people so far, and they'll get everybody who's ever was in there. I tell you that was really stupid. One guy, him and his girlfriend, had masks on. And she pulled the mask down to breathe a little bit, and he had to tell her to put it back on. But in that instant, they got her picture, and they arrested her, and him, of course. And they talked about how they did it, and you had so many police forces throughout the country who helped out. And one thing that'll come out of this is you've got to be a fool to try to do that again. You're going to get arrested for it, and it's not worth it. Plus, these people all have lawyers, and in most cases, they don't have a whole lot of money. And guess what? Whatever they have, they're going to give up to the lawyers. And some of them are going to be in jail for that. That's a real sobering thing for people who want to have insurrection, which I think is kind of a dumb thing to do. America has got problems, but it's better than any place else I've ever been. I think of my time in China, which was the 2 weeks I was there. I never want to live there, I'll tell you that. It was such a pervasive totalitarian state that I would never want to live there. Food wasn't bad, but it's very different. Chinese food over there is very different than what we eat over here. And a little known fact is the most common restaurant in America, the most numerous one, is actually Chinese restaurants throughout the country. And Chinese food here is very different than what's over there. I get my Chinese food fix at least once or twice a month. At least. I want shrimp fried rice and pepper steak, and never forget it. The wife likes crab rangoons. To me, you can keep it, but she liked it. So, but other than that, we're going through an interesting time now as we look at the things that are going on as a national schedule. If you look at what's going on with the Joe Biden and the things that the Congress is doing, and I think we're watching the death of the Republican Party, frankly. They've become the modern-day version of the do-nothing party, and I don't give them a whole lot of time before they get broken up again and become something else.
You know, Dad, I was thinking about some of these recent scandals from elected officials, and it made me wonder why you didn't have more scandals.
I didn't do anything. I remember a buddy of mine who worked for the SBA came by to talk to me one time, and he stopped at the police station in Carver and asked how to get to my house. Then he asked the guy afterwards, said, "What does this guy do?" He said, "The mayor goes from his office to home, back to home, and that's all he does. He doesn't go anywhere else." And that was always true of me. I had better things to do than try to, act up or act a fool. It's something that you just don't do. And, I was very proud of being a mayor and very proud of keeping my image up to the citizens who spent their time voting for me. I was very cognizant of that, and I never wanted to do anything to make them ashamed of me. I was always very proud of being a mayor of Carver, and very proud of the city that it that was then, and I helped it become what it is today, which is one of the major and best known and best loved little cities in all of the whole country. And I feel good about having some small part of doing that, helping with that. But no, I was never part of a scandal because I never did anything. I never stole anything. Never did anything that I thought was improper. And I was always very cognizant of people looking at me. And one of the things that is an example is the shining things. We did some crazy stuff like the bicycle races. But I remember myself and Kay Kaiser bought the first bulletproof vest for the Chapel Hill and Carver police stations. I think we paid, you know, $50 a piece for them. I remember that, something like that. And whenever I listen to Kay Kaiser now and some of his songs from the 40s, I always think back in that day we were talking about stuff and get our picture taken for those at the Concords at Chapel Hill Country Club, and never forget that. But no, I was very proud of and very cognizant of people looking at me, and I always tried to make the city proud of what I did. And now, 40 years later, almost 50 years, actually 50 years later, they can't say that I never did anything wrong. Never stole a dime or anything else from people of Carver. I thought it was a responsibility that I needed to do, and I still feel that way. And the mayors that have followed me did a good job because of that, I think. We never had a mayor that I know of in Carver that ever had a scandal or anything else. I think it was wonderful. And Carver is one of the great towns of America. And I hopefully changed it from a sundowner town into a great city. And it was a great city in its own right, not in the shadow of Chapel Hill as it was when I first went there. Because you really can't tell when you go from Chapel Hill to Carver at all, ever, except for the signs. That's it. And I remember it was a big controversy because you're allowed to drink beer on the streets of Carver, but you couldn't do that in Chapel Hill. So if you walked 5 feet from the two towns, you could get arrested in Chapel Hill, but not in Carver. There's little things like that we did that were trying to be more reactive to helping the citizens instead of trying to penalize the citizens. I was very cognizant of that fact. But other than that, you know, as we go through looking at the Biden's new infrastructure plan, I think he's going to go down as one of our great presidents. I liked everything he's done so far, and I think he's a very smart guy, for an old guy, and I think he's done a wonderful thing. I'm really very proud of what he's done. And the times I've met with him, I always thought he was a good guy.
He's probably been the most progressive president.
Oh, no question. For an old guy, he's done a great job. See, it doesn't matter to him now. He's done all he's going to do. He's not going to run again, I can tell you that. He's too old. So he's just living it up, having a good time now. He's always wanted to be president. He's been trying to be president for 50 years. And now he's actually more like 70 years. And now he's got it. So, no, I think he's going to do a wonderful job. And I think there's some things that are coming down the pike that needed to happen. I think we're going to get D.C. statehood. I think we can get a lot of Democratic wish lists are going to happen. And I do believe that Republicans will not take back the House. I think the Democrats will keep the House. I think the Republicans are becoming a more shrinking party and becoming the way of the Whigs and the do-nothings. That's what they do. They do nothing. They try to say, no, we don't want that. We're a party of no. We don't want that, but we don't have any ideas of our own. So we just don't want that. Well, what do you want? We don't want anything. We're just here to stop and get paid by the rich people and make sure they get tax cuts, and that's all we want, just tax cuts. And the infrastructure we have is so bad and falling down. I look at that bridge that you go to from across the rivers from Kentucky to Cincinnati, and I remember driving on that bridge, and that was, you know, 30 years ago. It was in very bad shape. And it could fall down at any time right now because it's being reinforced with barely where I am now. And I think that those are the things that need to happen. I think we're going to get another CCC clamp, same thing that Roosevelt did, and put people to work and rebuild our infrastructures, which we need to do. We have the worst airports in the whole world. And so, I'm saying this is the things that needed to happen. And it took somebody who really didn't give a damn about whether he'd be reelected or not to do this. And that's good. Best decision that we all made in putting him back in. And Biden is in a unique position, having been a vice president for 8 years, plus all his time in the Senate. And he's really cognizant of the fact of which people put him in office. People of color put him in office. And no question, he got in for that reason, and that's his constituency, and he knows it. And I think he's done a good job. And the fact that you got a Native American in charge of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I think is wonderful. That's the Department of Interior. People don't realize that, like we talk about the Forest Service, for example, well, that's an interior. It's not what you think it is, which is wildlife or something. But, it's a wonderful thing he's done with the people he's put in. And I think it's a cabinet that reflects America. And I'm very proud of what he's done, and I'm 100% behind him. Plus, as I said, I've got my vaccination shots. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do battle.
You ready to party now?
I'm ready to battle COVID-19. I'm too old to party. But COVID-19 is fine. And we're now trying to get our yurt together, a big one, which is a conference center. We're slowly but surely getting it together, and I'll spend another probably $30,000, I guess, in the next couple of weeks to get it fixed, get it finished. But we are moving along, and folks out there, we're building one of the largest convention centers in this part of the country, and it's made out of a yurt, which is just a tent, but it's a big one. So folks from America need to come over and watch it in Oasis Campground. I think what I'm looking out here is camping is just a sector that's growing in America. We as a campground have been full for years, and I think it's a mature business that's been revitalized. Over the last last 13 years that we've been in business, in the camping business, people have lost, shut down campgrounds and made them into condominiums. So the bottom line is, if you have a campground now, you're full, wherever you're at. And so it's going to be a growing business. And remember, there are 15,000 campgrounds, and only about 3 or 4 of them are owned by people of color. So the folks out there who are interested in a new business, they ought to look at the campground industry. It's a business that, any people, when they're looking for places to stay, they don't care what you look like, they just want a place to stay. And if you do good service, they keep on coming back. Our reviews are all in the 4 and 5 category. For a little park, we've done lots of wonders in the 14 years we've been open. So this is my brother's idea, Rodney's idea. So I really feel good about trying to think about his legacy, what he, his ideas of what we needed to do. Because he said we got this land of our grandfather, great grandfather, bought for $1 an acre, who was freed as a slave when he was 8 years old. Let's build a campground there. And I hadn't thought of that, but that was his idea. And we did it. And I'm glad we did.
Yes, we love Uncle Rodney. I know he's listening in heaven. And we love you. We appreciate your uncle for your vision. Thank you for all that you've done.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Tell the listeners about those first couple of years, which weren't so easy. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, when we first started out, we're in a very rural part of North Carolina, and there was another campground already here that was bigger, and, had 100 sites, this and that. They're small sites, but they had 100 of them. And we decided to build a campground because Rodney said, let's do that. So you got an RV, let's build a campground. I really hadn't thought about it. And the bottom line of that was most campgrounds in North Carolina, because you have regulations and stuff, take years to build, literally years. We built ours in 90 days. And still up. And the first couple of years, I remember we had one customer from West Virginia who come and park his RV in the wintertime with us. And he's still a good guy, and he was with us for about 10 years. And our bottom line, most winters, as we started out, he was the only camper we had for 6-8 months of the year. And for the last, 4 or 5 years, we've been 100% full. And we're now trying to get into an expansion mode to expand out. Slowly but surely, but we'll expand out. And we're the most unique campground in America. We have glamping pods, we have tiny houses, and we have two yurts. One a regular yurt, and the other one's the biggest yurt in America. So we try to make this a very unique park. We're small, but it's a very unique park, and it's been very lucrative for what we've done and continue to do.
So tell yourself or tell new business owners in those first couple of years when you only had one person from West Virginia, how do you keep going and not quit?
You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe. Once we committed our retirement savings, we had nowhere else to go. Sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to cut off your escape routes to go back. You're only going to be here. We sold our house in Auburn and put it all into the park. Everything we did for a number of years, we put into the park. I still have a little pink thing that I bought for Mother's Day one year, and about year three, that I bought for my wife for Mother's Day. And I still have it. And that's all I could afford. And it cost about $1.35. It's a little pink bunny rabbit, basically. It's a ceramic piece.
Wow.
But that's all I could afford that day, for Mother's Day.
So you're saying you bought that for Sharon, but you have it now?
Well, we all have it. It's still here. I gave it to her, and we never went anywhere.
But that makes you think about those tough times.
Oh, no question. You got to believe. If you believe in what you're doing, and you do the best you can to learn how to do it and do it as best you can, then it's fine. We've had thousands of people come through here. And out of those thousands of people, I'd say there's only, 3 or 4 or 5 that I wouldn't want to see again. But the vast majority of people we've had of all races and nationalities and income levels have been wonderful people to meet and do. And you have a village of people that supports each other, and it's continued to be that way. And campgrounds, I think, are wonderful things. And it's something I never would have thought about. And remember, there are 15,000 campgrounds, and less than 5 of them are owned by people of color. And that's really a shame. Because camping has become more and more a egalitarian kind of enterprise for people of all income levels to come and camp. And the C-19 stuff has just caused people not to go to hotels, they go to campgrounds. I noticed that we had our annual meeting at a hotel at Best Western, actually Embassy Suites in Myrtle Beach. There was nobody in the hotel but us. That was the RV people, RV Park Owners Association. And we were the only people there at the Embassy Suites that was there. And that must have 1,000 rooms. So, I mean, the hotel was completely empty. And I couldn't believe it. But C-19 has just emptied out hotels everywhere. Like it's emptied out, movie theaters. We're going through a period of retrenchment and retrenchment in this country that is seeing us becoming a different country post C-19 than before. There's a whole lot of things that will never happen again post C-19. And that's probably for the better in many ways. And I now value going to, pick up, some takeout food, and I like Chinese restaurants myself, so I always frequent and patronize them and other restaurants. But it's we have a whole difference in what we do and how we eat out and how we do everything. And businesses now have a basically a challenge. You either change or you go out of business. And we've done some changes because of that. But we've been full for the last 3-4 years. And by full, I mean, 100% occupancy. We have about 3 or 4 electric-only sites, and they've been full. Before this happened, we never filled them. They'd always be empty. Now they're never empty. As people said, we're glad to have a site of any kind. And, camper people are generally the nicest people you want to meet. I mean, they're just, they really are, they take care of each other. And it's really a very friendly, people-friendly kind of business to be in. As a person of color, you see all kinds of different people. They just want a site and want to be able to have a safe place. And we provide that to them. We don't want anybody to bother them, and nobody bothers them. And our campground is in the middle of 100 acres of longleaf pines on land that my great-grandfather, Hector McMillan, bought for $1 an acre in 1890. And he was freed as a slave when he was 8 years old and bought these acreage for $1 an acre. So I'm sitting there watching this and watching over his legacy. So you never know what's going to happen, and it really wasn't even my idea. It was my brother's. And we ran with it, and he put money into it, and we make sure that, his descendants get a little bit of change of it, too, because we're making a little bit of change. So, but other than that, it's been, you meet some interesting people. We had a gentleman for about the last month or so, he just left. That was, from another country. And his thought process was, how do you guys stay in business? Why is this place always full? I said, just look around. And look at what you see. And it's a friendly piece. It's like a village. And a 1950s village. It's like, that crazy Trumper said, he says, let's make America great again. Well, our campground's like that. It's a 1950 campground. And we have walking trails and no pool. And it's safe. We haven't had not a theft or a robbery or break in anybody's thing in now 13, 14 years. We have video cameras and everything else, but it's more out of date than anything else because we've never had a problem. We've been lucky, knocking on wood, I guess, but we've never had a problem with that.
You're saying that you're making America great again.
Oh, no question. No question.
You're from New York. You're a politician. You're kind of the black Trump.
Well, in many ways, yeah. But I guess I'm saying that we're in a deep South and a very, I would say, segregated kind of, Scotland County is one of the most segregated. It's really a sundowner type of county. And we're the lone beacon spot. We're in a town of, Laurinburg has probably got 15, 20,000 people in the service area. And we don't have we have exactly one black restaurant. And we have, I think, the only black business you have beside ourselves, and we're outside of town, is funeral parlors. That's it. It's really a throwback kind of area. But, it's people get along and they do what they're going to do. But all of the businessmen and all of the things we had to do to build this place were built by people who lived somewhere else, who didn't mind having a black person, as their boss, to be a, to to do work for. But the people who, the business people here in Scotland County, I'm a member of the local chamber here, we've told them, we will pay you to come and do something. They said, we don't want to come there. They say it in so many words because they don't tell you that. They just don't show up. So you watch, in some ways, 1950 things. But, you know, these people are cutting off the nose despite their face. And I think this, you know, that era of segregationists, I think they're going to go the way of Dodelberg. And I've had discussions with the chamber president and everything else. And he basically is, he agrees with me that needs to be changed, but he doesn't do anything about it. Neither do the chamber members. They've got to be ignorant, and that's what they are. In their bliss. So, we're a member of also the Moore County Chamber, and they're a lot friendlier. And they're a lot bigger. And actually cheaper, believe it or not. And we're a member of both chambers. And much more progressive. So we keep a foot in both counties, Moore County, which is the richest county in North Carolina, and Scotland, which is one of the poorer ones. But it's been an interesting dichotomy, and we kind of, you know, make it work. And I shop in both places, and one good thing about the C-19 is because of where we are, where we physically are, we've had a lot less incident of C-19 than the counties around us, which made it a very safer place to be. And that's a good thing. It's safer than where you live, Rudy.
Well, listen, I got my shot, and we've got a campsite out here. We keep a lot of distance between people, and if you are looking to camp in the RTP area, go to the website lakefrontcampsites.com, lakefrontcampsites.com, and get into nature this weekend.
Yep, I think I agree. It's a wonderful, picturesque site right next to a park. It's got its own little lake, which Rudy tried to navigate in a Best Buy, basically floating thing that sunk halfway through it. But I think people in Europe are allowed to go over there. It's a good getaway place. And I think you got the right idea.
We had a guest from Arizona last week.
Yep, okay. And you get good reviews when I see. And it's a good thing. So if you're looking for camping, look for Rudy's place.
So listen, You've given the listeners a lot of good advice on even starting their own business. As we close out, what are your words of wisdom?
Keep positive, be good to your neighbors, and better times are ahead for us. We've dodged the bullet with the C-19 stuff, and I think we got a president that's going to help us. And I really believe we're watching a demise of the do-nothing party of the 21st century and the Republicans. I think the Republicans 20 years from now, whoever their successors are, will be very different than what's here now. Mitch McConnell has done a disservice to himself and to the Republican Party. He's got to be among the worst politicians and mendacity person that I've ever seen. And the sooner he leaves the scene, the better it'll be for America. And with that, I say, adios, muchachos. Everybody have a wonderful day, and keep me in your prayers. Thank you.
Love you, Dad.
I love you.